Let's go. Show. I am your host. You know, I'm feeling my middle name today and probably will be for a while. I'm Alondis. I'm your host today. And today we're exploring what it means to be an American. And I know that that's a broad topic. But I think each and every one of us in our hearts knows what it means to be an American too. Ourselves. I know what it means to me. And I'm going to be joined with my guest today, Samara, and she's the author of When the Veil Drops. And she will be talking about her book in the context of what it means to her to be an American. So I'm going to welcome Samara right now. Hello, Samara. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you for having me.
Hi. Let's start by you telling my listeners a little bit about you.
I was born in Egypt. I moved to the U.S. when I was 23 years old. I married an American soldier from Texas. That's how I came to the U.S.
Okay.
And he was from Texas, so that's a different culture altogether, right?
Pardon me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I was saying my ex was from Texas.
Oh, actually, I lived in Texas, San Antonio, for several years during the time when they went 9 months with no rain. It was quite hot.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about what it means to be an American. And one of the things that I have heard all my life is this concept of the melting pot. And it comes from the E Pluribus Unum that's on the seals for the United States, it's on the money, it's everywhere. And up before 1950s, it was the accepted motto, which in Latin means one. And some people see that as a melting pot where you come together and from all over the world or different cultures, and one person emerges, one type of person. And that type of person is an American. I don't see it that way. And I'm curious about how you see it as well. I see it more as people from all over, and I got this as an adult living in Germany and traveling all over Europe. I really got to see the United States in a different light, more objective, I think. I see it as more us coming together, bringing what we have under an umbrella that's called we have a shared idealism. We have a shared sense of values. And that's what it means to me to be an American. So I'm wondering where you are in this.
I used to think like you could just come to the U.S. with your different ethnicity background and somehow that you could maintain that unchanged, but it's really not. It is more of a melting pot. You adopt a different identity, not just a different nationality. It becomes your sense of duty and rights that you now have. I work on becoming American every day, and I was naturalized 10 years ago. When I when I first came and it took 4 years to get the process done, when I was sworn in, I really knew that this is the country I want to live in, but I only knew that the person who wrote the national anthem is Francis Scott Key, because they give you this booklet of question and answer that you have to know and learn by heart, but it doesn't really teach you what does American mean. It's mm-hmm. every day when you live, every interaction you have, you learn something else, something new. What is this common denominator that we all share as American? And it is our sense of freedom and duty. You have all those liberties, but it comes with duty. I learned to stop at stop sign, and I, mm-hmm. I know it sounds silly, but in Arab country, we don't obey traffic laws. And for me, to stop at stop sign and give the right of way to the pedestrian became my duty as an American. When I'm walking, they will stop for me, and when I'm driving, I need to stop for them. It's something very simple, but it became how I view everything else. There is a lot of liberty and equality between, you know, male and female, but it comes with a new set of responsibilities that you have to do. Yes, you are equal to a man, but you have to work as hard as a man. Yes, you will get appreciated in your work and you get the bonus and everything. You will be treated equally, but you still have to do your part. You cannot just say, I'm this, I'm a woman, obey me, or you know, it became a different structure, a different identity. I started to celebrate my naturalization day instead of my birthday as a birthday.
Yes, I remember reading that about you. That was a big change, and it spoke volumes to me. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to hear what you had to say, more of what you had to say, because changing your birth date to the date that you become nationalized is significant. I'm wondering if you can talk a little more about that, because I think we're on the same page, because part of what we're talking about is values and having a shared sense of what's right and what's wrong, and that's the American identity. And I think some of that's being challenged today in ways that hasn't been in the past, and that's part of where all the hoopla is coming from. But tell me more about the decision, how you came to that,
I'm still a little soft spoken, but I was raised never to raise my voice, because mm-hmm. as a woman you cannot speak loud. A man cannot hear a loud voice coming out of a woman. That's disturbing, and we cannot disturb the master of the house. I was taught to seek permission from the male, the father, the brother, and when I get married, the husband, for every single thing I do. That was my Arab identity. But when I lived here, I learned that I don't need to ask him permission, but I owe him still respect. It's mm-hmm. it's a little different, but it's still the same. But there's no sense of duty and obligation of no, he cannot hear. I screamed for the first time in my life as an American and living in the U.S., and it felt so good. I was like, oh, I can actually scream. I didn't know that I can scream.
It
wasn't something that was allowed.
Well, what I hear you saying is that you feel as though you didn't bring anything from your past country or your past culture to.
We still bring something. We bring the sense of Arab hospitality, Arab generosity. I always have like culture events and invite people and make the falafel and the hummus and teach them about what's good in the Arabic culture. But mm-hmm. what became to mean to me to be an American is to realize what are the values that you want to keep and pass, and what are the values that you want to adopt from your new country.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, so I share what I value in the Arabic culture, and I adopted a set of new values that I equally share and value in the American culture, and it became to me, so I am Arab American or more of an American Arab, and in my new identity that I celebrate on my new naturalization date is who I am. It's not really the day I was born, because had I lived the rest of my life in that culture where I was living, I wasn't going to be the same person.
That is that no that's a very 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 interesting point. It really is. Were there any conflicts that you had to overcome as you made the journey? And as we all are, we're still in journey to being who we are. As you moved into where you are right now as an American citizen, were there any conflicts between your Arab culture and your Arab heritage that you really felt conflicted about giving up, that you felt that you needed to or had to?
Actually, a lot, and I think that's what cost me my marriage, because I came with a sense of what it means to be a male, and when my ex was helping with the laundry and making the dishes, I viewed him as less of a man, and I reacted badly to him. I didn't appreciate what he was doing, and for me, it was like, why are you acting like a woman? Because at the time, oh, okay, I'll tell you this story. We had our son, and he was just a newborn, and he went to change the diapers of the boy in front of my mother, who was visiting. My mother broke out crying. She was like, I feel very sorry for you that you're not married to a man.
Oh, wow.
The identity with what's required of a male and what's accepted of a male behavior was completely different. If I did anything that he didn't like, he would come to me and calmly tell me, I didn't appreciate you doing this, and I didn't understand that upset him. And eventually, when I find that out, I told him, why didn't you yell and scream, hit me, break something? Because
Oh,
that's
so.
how I understood that a man behaves. And then now, 10 years later, I look at my ex and I say, oh my goodness, I had a good man. I just didn't know it at the time.
that's how long, I mean, did you con when was the turning point for you for this gender?
I
Was there a
think I
particular
got.
turning point where you realized
I
where
think
you were
the
looking?
particular point was my divorce, because I grew up not accepting divorce, knowing that marriage is forever, and I got divorced, and I didn't have any guilt. I was unprepared to live in the society the way I was, and I said, okay, I need to learn. So what are the American values? How can I live here? Because I was still very isolated and still mingling in Arabic circle and not understanding what are the American values. And my first challenge was that I had to live with the American male who had American values. And once he divorced me, I was like, how did this happen? What it was understanding the divorce and becoming on my own as a single mother. How did this happen? It's just to understand it, and I really don't blame him for anything, because we had absolutely total opposite values,
Wow,
and I had
that.
to learn it. I had to become a person with an American values. I kept some of my Arabic values, but I modified quite a bit, and I adopted American values.
That's very, very interesting as well, because one of the things that I teach people is that you have to learn from where you are right now in the moment, right? Where you are right now. How did you get there? And what I hear you saying is that's exactly what you did. You were in the middle of a divorce, you got your divorce and said, wait a minute, how did I get here? And in the process,
Yes, it was my first adult crisis that I didn't think that I would ever have. And
Yeah,
I
because
had.
in your mind at that time you were being a good a good wife.
Absolutely. I thought I'm being an obedient good wife, and I didn't realize I wasn't, you know, I just had different values. I didn't appreciate him doing, helping me out. Okay, so I'll tell you that story. In Arab countries, if you have any disagreement or something you don't like about your husband, you have to call his mother because the in-laws are your protector and complain. So I called his mother all the time, and Linda, plus her heart, kept like hearing me. And then he was like, why are you talking to my mother? But in Arabic culture, I was just doing what's expected, that you seek mediator to resolve conflict. But he, as an American male, did not like that I talked to his mother. And I never tried to put myself in his position and say, why is he not wanting the mediators? Because in Arab country, you seek mediators, and the first mediators are the in-laws. In fact, the word in-laws in Arabic means protector. They're supposed to protect you. You know?
Wow. One of the things that I hear you say.
I tried to help, but I made it worse.
One of the things that I hear you saying is part of being an American is to question yourself and learn from what the answers that you get back, right?
Yes, absolutely. I had the challenge of now I need to be an American who can find an American mate with American values, and now I'm a single mother who's raising an American child who's going to school and learning different expression and different ways of life, and I needed to understand that quick. Again, that's something my son helped me with, because he would come home and say an expression, and I was like, oh, what does this mean? And what I'm learning is, although I came here with a decent level of proficiency in English, it's a different thing. You're learning American culture through movies, through episodes. Like my new book that I'm working on is how I learned American culture through watching 100 movies. I asked some of my friends and put it on my Facebook of recommend movies for me, and you'd be surprised that the names and the different movies and different ethnicity and different age group, and depending on whether it's a male or female friend, they recommend a totally different movie. And I was struck by that when I asked that question, what are the movies that you think are necessary for a person to watch to learn American culture? I want to say there wasn't even 5 movies in common between all the different recommendations.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It made me realize how deep is the culture. People don't realize how deep is this culture that we are living.
Yeah, it is. That, and it can be very difficult when you throw politics in there and try to come to some kind of consensus.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about your book. Tell us about it. The title is When the Veil Drops? Yes.
Well, it's about my dating life and how I started dating. And that was a challenge by itself, because I wasn't raised to be able to do that. Dating was something that was out of the question. So how I started my dating life, and it has like it's written like 17 vignettes, and all of it is about my dating and how my Arabic and Islamic culture that I grew up with affected every relationship I have. The book, I wrote it as, again, self-exploration. I should say it's a little spicy, but it wasn't the intention, really. the pornographic nature to the book it was not intended. It was just because I'm talking about my sex life.
What were some of the biggest challenges that you found?
Understanding that the society here does not accept polygamy, and understanding that affairs are affairs and it's not polygamy, and you you don't get the same rights, because in polygamy, to be a second woman is accepted. So as in my head, I was thinking, okay, I am the second woman to this man. I wasn't, and I was taken away from the first wife, and I didn't realize it at the time, because the first wife in Arabic culture accepted and knows about it. I realized that, for instance, the fact that we have polygamy in Arabic and Islamic culture does not work in here, and you end up hurting another woman, which is something that I truly didn't understand at the time. Because, you know, in Arab country, you don't really know the person you're marrying. So if you're having a bad marriage and you don't want to be divorced, there is a big stigma attached to it. When your husband come and ask for your permission to find a second wife, you tell him, of course, because you want to have the bad husband part-time. So the first wife is okay with it and willing to share. And, you know, in fact, I have an uncle that his wife was looking for the second wife. And she was, you know, trying to find the nice, younger-looking, good-looking woman, because if he gives her gifts and he has to treat the first wife equally and whatnot. So I grew up in that environment where sharing a man is accepted. And I had to learn the hard way that, no, it's not, because you're hurting the other person. So there is, it all started with an affair that I had and how I really did not know what I was doing, because I was just sharing. In my mind, he was a male who had the right to another woman. And,
wow.
Yeah, this is one of the stories.
Yeah.
Every single also is I found out that in Arabic and Islamic sexuality, what's allowed and what's not allowed is quite different. And I had to, like, slowly and progressively, with every relationship I have, learn one lesson, you know. So, like I said, the book has a lot of sex in it, but it's not really the intention. And some
well,
of the reviews,
like you said, you're writing about dating, so
yeah. Some of the reviews realize
that
it's going to help you understand the difference between Arabic and Islamic culture as far as sex and relationship goes, and the difference in American culture and you know relationship goes. So the book more talks about this, and it's available on Amazon. You could actually read some snippets for free in there, but it's,
yeah, and you can get a some more information for people listening from our website at wlake.com as well. I've got information about your book and about you all up on the website there. The thing that I think that we do here with divorce is I think it's more like serial monogamy. We you know outgrow each other sometimes, or just you know, for whatever reason end up ending a marriage and going off and into the wild blue yonder. Sometimes we go off into the wild blue yonder before we get divorced. But then you know all about that.
Yes, it happens.
Any final thoughts? Because we're running a little low on time right now. So,
okay.
You say you have a new book you're working on. Can you say a little about that?
Yes. The book is going to be My Life as a Culture Lesson, and it's intended to also have snippets of my life growing up as a child and how it prepared me or less prepared me to become American. And toward the end of the book, I talk about the movies that I watched and how becoming an American became my daily task, because as I'm living here, earning the rights to freedom and equality, I need to do something. I need to learn something, you know, forming my new identity. So it goes back from childhood to right now and how I became the person who celebrates her naturalization date as a birth date.
Well, I can't wait to read it. Well, I have another question for you before you leave. What would you say was the movie that you think you learned the most about American culture, that you used the most, the movie? Which one off the top of your head?
It's it's hard to say. It's really hard to say as one. I right now I have like a maybe top five movies, but
okay.
But I don't really have like one movie.
Well, yeah. Can you throw a couple of them out? I'm just curious.
Yes, sure. It's A Wonderful Life. It gave me the sense of the beginning of what you know, becoming an American meant in that time, and the solidarity in society, and it gave me a new aspect altogether. I saw the other movie that's like my absolute favorite as a movie was 12 Angry Men, and it's about and it's about a jury duty, and this was prior to any equal opportunity and all of that laws, right? So they're sitting there, 12 angry men, discussing a Hispanic alleged to be guilty boy, and bringing all their biases. And it's a wonderful movie. It's black and white, but it's a wonderful movie. And I was like, I did not know that American had to go through all that struggle for us now to feel equal and, you know, to have a black president. I was like, wow, this happened, and I didn't even know about it. So, you know, with every movie became like a learning experience. A movie that was recommended by my Hispanic friends, Stand Up and Deliver, and it showed a Hispanic teacher go into a low-income school and teaching them calculus, and then the students score high that they question the result. And it was it really gave me a different feel of another aspect that didn't happen, because you know it's not sufficient to read that booklet to make you an American. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It has question. It makes you know who won the Civil War, but
and,
you know, watching a movie like movie was the name Mountain, I forgot, but it showed the Civil War and the impact and the impact on the women who had to go and work in the fields and what happened really. I'm finding out that every movie bring you a different thing, that because it was popular at the time and it affected. It wasn't just presenting a problem, it affected. It helped move the culture. It helped the melting pot melt. You know, I think of every movie as one more spice we added to become who we are.
Yeah. Well, I recommend a movie. If you haven't seen West Side Story,
I strongly
recommend that one. Yeah, I recommend that one.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
It's been a pleasure talking with you. And I look forward to keeping in touch with you. And let me know when your next book is out.
Thank you so much, Deborah. I really enjoyed talking to you. And thank you for having me.
Here. Oh,
bye-bye.
Definitely. Thank you. That's all for today. You can find out more about my guest, Samara, on my website, DeborahElake.com. I'm Alondis, and this is your show. Let me hear from you. I'd love to communicate. I love to talk, and I love people. So until next time, world, goodbye.